Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Second hour here on Friday morning. Very busy time there during the news. Was just pushing out the podcast, working on writing a couple of news stories, and then just made an appearance on Fun 107 at the same time. Had to address some potential paranormal activity at Gazelle's house. So I guess I wear multiple hats here. Whatever you need, I can handle. So we've got some other stories that I wanted to give you updates on. As I mentioned in the last hour, there was a story that we talked about. I don't remember. Was it earlier this week? Let me see if I can find out when this. Yeah, it was earlier this week. Earlier this week was the story of the man in Tewksbury, the postal worker in Tewksbury, who had a male wave a gun at him. And then that was it. The postal carrier got into his vehicle, drove away, and called the police to let them know what was happening. So it turns out that the person taken into custody and arrested yesterday in connection with this is a 14-year-old from Lowell. So a 14-year-old kid was apparently, and the details maybe in this story from WCVB aren't exactly complete. But the way that it sounds like, because if you remember when we talked about that story, they were talking about the person was in a car, a red Hyundai Sonata, traveling at a high rate of speed on Whipple Road. And then officers followed that vehicle to the area of Tomahawk Drive, at which point the driver bailed out of the vehicle and ran away. So there was nobody else in the vehicle. So if this 14-year-old was the one in the vehicle, that means the 14-year-old must have been driving the vehicle. So this 14-year-old, who I'm looking at the image they have of the man that they're looking for, it could be a 14-year-old. I mean, the 14-year-old is charged with brandishing a firearm. So I don't think they think that anybody else was involved. Again, it's not completely clear, but it sounds to me from reading this, this 14-year-old kid was driving a car and brandished a firearm at a postal worker. So if the goal was to rob the postal truck, first of all, what are you going to do? Are you going to get in the postal truck and drive away? Because I don't know how much you're putting into a red Hyundai Sonata. Hyundai Sonata is a nice car, but it's not going to carry a full mail load, I don't think, unless you just care about getting some of it. The whole story is very strange, but a 14-year-old is charged with brandishing a firearm. So there's no mention of anybody else, no mention of it being part of a larger theft ring. You know, those details will come out later on during arraignments and trials and all that. But it seems like this person was either trying to threaten the mail carrier or rob the mail carrier in a Hyundai Sonata. So that's the latest on that story. There's also, you know, we share a lot of horrific stories. And I'm sorry that we have to do that, but we got to let you know about what's going on in the world. But we try to process those stories and we try to give you an outlet to vent about those stories. And one story that I know has a lot of people worked up is the story of this baby that was found inside of a car outside of a daycare in Lexington. And it was revealed that the baby was just a few weeks shy of turning a year old. So we're talking about, you know, still basically an infant here. August 31st would have been the child's one-year birthday, first birthday. And there was thought when this story happened that it must have been the child of somebody who worked at the daycare. Because why else would somebody leave a baby in the car outside of the daycare all day? Well, I mean, who works at a daycare that would bring their baby to work and not realize that their baby wasn't in work unless they were doing it intentionally? But it turns out that that's not the case. It was not somebody that worked there. It was a child who should have been dropped off there. And the press release that came out about this is the preliminary investigation suggests that the child had never entered the daycare on the day of his death and that he may have been in the car for an extended period of time. I'm just looking here to see if there's some different information. But basically, I'm trying to... I know that there was more information. Where is the stuff that I saw? But the daycare had called the mother's phone. You know what? I must have saw it on a different site. But they had called the mother's phone looking to see, hey, are you bringing your son in today? And the answer, the calls went unanswered. And so that means that this person either never checked their phone all day, or they knew what they were doing, which is just absolutely brutal. And it's a tough story to have to share, but again, we want to bring you the latest details. But now let me give you a happier story. I don't want to leave you with just negativity. As I'm reading all this news this morning, getting ready for the show, I was so happy that WCVB had this story because we needed a positive story here. Apparently, there was a couple, Rebecca and Danya Mahota, who were expecting a baby. And the time came for her to go to the hospital and have this baby. And they got in the car. Now, they live in Brewster on the Cape. And anybody that lives in that's been to Brewster, anybody that's been to the Cape this time of year, you know, it's you can't get around. Everything slowed down. So they were going to take her to the hospital in Plymouth. Her water broke while in the car on the way. It said that it would take 56 minutes to get to the hospital, which is not, Brewster to Plymouth is not a 56-minute ride. But that's how long they said that it would take. So her water breaks. They end up pulling over on the side of the road, and she delivers the baby in the car. They name the baby Summer. Now, that's a good enough story on its own, right? But I guess during the course of everything that was going on and delivering the baby in the car, the father lost his wedding ring. It fell off of his hand, and he didn't realize it till later. And now he's distraught. He's thinking, oh, well, you know, I lost my wedding ring. Oh, I'm never going to get it back. And as somebody who lost their wedding ring on my 10th anniversary, no less, literally just came off. I was working as a cook and I had, you know, putting on gloves all the time between serving meals. And I guess at one point I must have pulled the glove off and my ring must have gone with it. And I never found it. And I had people that worked at this place going through the trash bags trying to find it with a metal detector, and they never found it. On my 10th wedding anniversary. But anyway, he couldn't find his ring. He didn't know what happened. They went back to the site of where they delivered the baby, and he finds it right there in the dirt. So just a good story all the way around. Caller, sorry, I just wanted to finish that story before I took your call, but I guess you couldn't hang on. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and react to any of those stories. But those are the stories that we need. We need those good stories that you think maybe there is a little bit of magic in the world. That, what are the chances that that ring would still be there? You know, when they drove away, he could have ran over it and pounded it into the dirt. Other cars could have pulled over. But luckily for him, when he got there, they were able to find it. And that's such a feeling of relief when you've lost something and you go back to get it. You're like, I know where this is. I know where it's got to be. And then when you get there, you actually find it. Oh, what a relief. I had no such luck with my wedding ring. Which, it wasn't an expensive ring. But it was, you know, the fact that it was the actual ring from our wedding. I ended up going and getting a replacement ring, but still. Wasn't the same. Especially wasn't the same because my replacement ring was a $25 one from Walmart. And a lot of good it did me because I don't need it anymore. Anyway, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. DSY in Dartmouth asked if I've seen any Harris Walls stickers on any cars. And I haven't, but are people getting them? I know I've seen pins. I've seen pins being distributed. I don't think I've seen anybody with one on yet, but I've seen folks on my social media saying that their pins had arrived. I mean, we're only, you know, what, a week or so out from, a little over a week from when the announcement was made of who would be the vice presidential candidate for Kamala Harris. So that stuff is probably starting to roll out. But I haven't seen anything yet. Now, some people have the ability to print stuff on their own. And maybe have printed their own. But in terms of the official campaign stuff, I haven't seen anything. I was thinking about getting a Harris Walls pin just to wear around here, just because, you know, I know it'll irk some people. But I think you'll start to see some of the campaign paraphernalia start to show up because, you know, again, once they had the announcement of the vice presidential candidate, that's when they'll start producing that kind of stuff. You'll start to see signs out in people's yards. Certainly with the convention next week, you're going to see a lot of stuff in the convention hall. So as they're just starting to mobilize the merchandise, for lack of a better term, I think you'll start to see it pop up. I did see one person who had a, and I should have taken a photo of it and put it up on social media, but I did see one person who had a Biden lawn sign. Where was I? It was when I went to Wareham for a doctor's appointment. I'll have to think of where it was. But it was probably in Rochester. Um, on County Road? Probably on County Road. And it was a Biden sign that somebody had just taped over it that said Harris. But, that's DIY. I think you'll probably see a push if you are following the campaign, if you follow them on social media, if you signed up for email alerts, you'll probably start to see like correspondence or requests, taking requests for campaign paraphernalia to be sent out. You know, you'll get the text messages. You know, do you want a pin? Do you want a bumper sticker? Send us your address and we'll send you one now. And I don't know what that does. I think it makes people feel good to wear a shirt or a pin or have a bumper sticker of the candidate they support. But I don't think it does anything. I don't think it does anything for the candidates. I think in these days, all it does more is cause problems between neighbors. There was someone, we got an app chat message from somebody over the weekend who had said that their Trump sign had been taken from their yard. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't take somebody's sign out of their yard. Now, sometimes, you know, those things are done by kids, by teenagers, as dumb pranks or whatever, and they don't realize what they're doing. They just think it's funny to take the sign. But keep in mind, if somebody puts something up in their yard, that's their property. You can't just go into their yard and take it. Even if you don't agree with it, even if you don't like having to look out the window of your house and see it, it's their house, it's their yard, it's their property. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. Let's take a phone call. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Saffioles.
How you doing?
How you doing? I'm just listening to you. Can I correct you on something?
Sure.
Okay. You said that you want to get a pin to wear around there so you can aggravate your people that you work with.
Yeah, I don't really want to. I was just joking.
I know you don't really want to do that. But just a little bit after with that, you contradicted yourself by talking about neighbors putting up signs to aggravate the other people.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say that they do it to aggravate other people. I said people get aggravated by it.
Yeah, right. So you're contradicting yourself. No, I just thought it was funny the way you put it.
Okay. I don't see how I was contradicting myself, though.
Well, what you're doing is you're saying you want to bring a pin in there to get the other people upset. But yet then you mentioned about the people should have put signs to aggravate their neighbors. Because some people take it as an offense when a neighbor's got a sign.
Right, but there's nothing they can do about it. Just like if I did wear a pin in here, there's nothing anybody could do about it.
No, I understand. Listen, you're talking to the choir.
Although I don't know, I don't know if we have any rules in our company handbook that nothing that I can recall about not having, you know, campaign paraphernalia or anything. I don't think so. Barry's got his Trump signs hanging up in his office, kind of thing. I don't think there's anything against it in our corporate policy, but I know some companies do have a policy on that.
Tim, I agree with that. People have their own opinions, but what he fringes on other people because somebody, I understand that. But if they got all the facts and they can back what they say, I don't mind people talking. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying that a lot of people call and they don't know what they're talking about.
A lot of people host shows and they don't know what they're talking about. And I'm the prime criminal in that, I guess.
Listen, I understand what you're saying. I just listen, like I told you, I'm up early and I listen to the whole program.
Okay? I appreciate
it. And you know that I pick things out, okay, like the things that, how things are situated in the courts and everything, you know what I mean? Well, they dismissed my case in court without a hearing with the chief of police as the main witness. So I know how the system works. It's who you know. And I'm not going to say what...
Yeah, please don't.
Okay, I won't. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right. Okay, I, I, I got to hold you there to go to the news, but you have a good weekend, Gilly.
You too.
All right. We will go to the news. We can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. We will also take your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Of course, Jack Splane will be joining us at 8 o'clock as we'll be turning on the light, and we'll be talking about his latest column at newbedfordlight.org about the 1 year, marking the 1 year anniversary of the Star Store sudden closure. What has been going on with both the university and the students since then? We'll talk about that with Jack and more coming up at 8. But right now, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day with Phil Devitt.
A training exercise goes wrong for the U.S. military in Nevada. Every American Social Security information could be compromised, and female life expectancy could be better in the U.S.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
10 service members are injured after a training accident at Fallon Naval Air Station in Nevada. Two Navy helicopters flew the injured service members to a hospital late last night. Their conditions have not yet been confirmed. Vice President Kamala Harris planning to unveil her economic policy in a speech in North Carolina today. It'll be her first policy-centered speech since she entered the race for the White House. The Harris campaign said the vice president will outline a plan to lower costs for middle-class families and take on corporate price gouging. Every American's Social Security information could be compromised. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
Reports say hackers stole information from National Public Data, a company that collects personal info for use in background checks, and tried to sell it. But when there were no buyers, posted it online for free. The group claims to have nearly 3 billion records of personal data from North America and the UK. Each record reportedly includes a person's full name, address, date of birth, Social Security number, and phone number. Experts say the best course of action right now is to freeze your credit files to prevent criminals from signing up for credit cards or taking out loans in your name. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The U.S. is responding to the Mpox outbreak in Africa. The World Health Organization this week declaring Mpox to be a global public health emergency. The principal deputy spokesperson with the State Department says the government is sending 50,000 doses of Mpox vaccine to the Democratic Republic of Congo to help fight the outbreak. This year is a record-breaking hot summer will bleed into a warmer-than-average autumn. That's according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Prediction Center. Its seasonal outlook shows that all contiguous U.S. states are at least partially leaning toward higher temperatures between September and November. And women in the U.S. have the lowest life expectancy among most industrialized countries. Brian Shook reports.
That's according to nonprofit group The Commonwealth Fund. It used provisional data from the CDC to calculate that American women in 2022 have a life expectancy of 80. That's 2 years shorter than the life expectancy of the nation with the next lowest, the United Kingdom, and 7 years shorter than in Korea and Japan, which have the highest expectancies. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
Well, Patriots suffered a narrow 14-13 defeat to the Eagles in their second preseason game last night. Rookie quarterback Drake May, though, made his mark, scoring his first NFL touchdown. New England wrapping up the preseason against Washington on August 25th. And the Red Sox fell short in their series opener against Baltimore, losing 5-1. The teams continue their four-game set tonight.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Patchy fog with temperatures in the mid-60s. Muggy today. Temperature in the upper 70s this afternoon. Turning mostly sunny overnight. Patchy fog will develop once again mid-60s. That patchy fog extending into Saturday first thing in the morning becomes mostly sunny once again Saturday. Sunday, mix of sun and clouds. Through the weekend, temperature in the upper 70s turns unsettled Sunday overnight through Tuesday. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Thank you.
course. That is Lisa Loeb and Nine Stories. That song just turned 30 years old. Can you believe it? 30 years ago. So when that song came out in 1994, do you know what that was 30 years from? The American debut of the Beatles. That's what we're talking about in time difference. Yeah, see, when you put it in that perspective, it takes on a whole new meaning. But that song was everywhere when it came out. It was on the soundtrack of Reality Bites. Because the video, which was shot by Ethan Hawke, he was the director of that video, and he was in Reality Bites, and he played it for Ben Stiller, who was the director of Reality Bites, and Ben said, I'm going to put this in the movie. And there you go. Lisa Loeb is a great follow on social media, too. I love following artists kind of behind the scenes and getting information and seeing what they're like in real life. You know, and plus the musicians, you never know when you're going to get like a little bonus performance. One of my favorite musicians to follow was Dion from Dion on the Belmonts on Facebook. He would just randomly just post videos where it's like him and the guys sitting around a table at a diner singing a song. So you never knew when you're going to find. And this was before the pandemic when all the artists started doing that. Anyway, 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and get involved in the discussion. So one thing that I thought was strange. Did you see Donald Trump's press conference yesterday where he had all the groceries like laid out? It's like, let's talk about how much stuff costs and how hard it is for people to get them. And then let's just put it all out on a table and let it sit there in the sun. Let's let this milk go bad. Let's let these eggs go bad. Like, whatever the visual was that you thought you were getting out of that, was it worth it? Was it worth having that visual? Your point is made anyway. It looked to me like I thought we were going to play Price is Right. I thought Donald Trump was going to stand up there. I mean, he's got experience as a game show host, right? I guess if you want to call the Apprentice a game show, it's, you know, I guess more of a reality show, but it was a contest. But I thought we were going to, like, you know, he was going to actually ask the reporters, like, how much do you think this box of cereal costs? And then the reporter shouts out, $3.50. And then the rest of the reporters yell, higher, higher. And then like the next reporter says, $3.51. Higher, higher. And then there's the one outlier, $1. You know, the person who thinks that they're going to bid $1 because everybody else overbid. What do you think Donald Trump's favorite Price is Right game would be? I think you would like the one where the guy yodels. I think you would enjoy that. I enjoy it. I always loved the one where the guy yodels. What was that one? The Matterhorn or something? The guy, he'd go up the like you didn't want him to fall over. But he'd probably also like Plinko. Everybody likes Plinko. Like if you were going to be on The Price is Right, Plinko was the game that everybody wanted to play because everybody thought they had a strategy for Plinko. And then, you know, there's a documentary, by the way, about the guy who, like, figured out Price is Right. It was on Hulu, and then I think it was on Netflix for a little while. It's probably on one of them now. But it was fascinating. He figured out how to beat all the games. But, yeah, Trump's probably a Plinko guy. I think everybody's a Plinko person. Oh, you know what he'd like? Remember that hole in one or two, the game where you would putt the ball. And if you missed it, Bob Barker would press the thing and it would switch around and say hole in one, and then it would say hole in two, so you get another shot. But, you know, I bet Donald Trump wouldn't need a second shot. He plays enough golf, he'd probably sink it in one. That's probably what he would want to play. Anyway, 508-996-0500. There's there's a lot of anxiety building up around the South Coast right now. I can feel it. I can feel it amongst all the school kids. The classroom assignments are going out. We're just, in some cases, a week away from some kids going back to school. Well, a little over a week. But, you know, next week being the final full week of their summer vacation, you can feel it's palpable. When I was in Walmart yesterday, there were kids in there doing back to school shopping. I was like, well, first of all, you're cutting it close. Like, this was always, you know, again, when I was a kid, we didn't go to school until after Labor Day. But this was always the time of year when, like, if you were buying stuff in August, like the middle of August, you were missing out on the good stuff. You weren't getting the good Trapper Keeper anymore. You were just getting, like, the blue Trapper Keeper. You weren't getting the one with the Lamborghini on the front or the Lisa Frank unicorns. You weren't getting those if you were buying a Trapper Keeper now. You weren't getting the folders with, you know, the Thundercats on them and He-Man and She-Ra. You weren't getting those. No, you were getting like plain folders. You had to go out like the end of July, beginning of August and get all the good stuff. I am 46 years old and I still have a Trapper Keeper. Still the greatest thing ever invented for disorganized people like me. But I was in the store and you could see the kids, you know, I don't want to buy this stuff yet. Well, you got to have it. And kids now have to buy more back to school stuff than they did when we were kids. Thanks to Ange, who says, Cliffhangers was the name of the yodeling game on The Price is Right. Cliffhangers. But I think my yodel impression was pretty dead on. I don't have my grandmother's yodeling skill. She was semi-pro at that. But yeah, I feel like the kids out there, they've got to get more back-to-school supplies than we ever did. You know, I remember going to school, you would get, on the first day, they would give you a couple of pencils, a couple of number two pencils, and you would get a box of eight crayons. And if you wanted more than eight crayons, you had to buy them. But the school would give you eight crayons. And those were expected to last you the whole year? I don't know. I never got through the box of eight crayons that they gave me because my mom always bought me other crayons. And you always wanted to get the 64 crayon box with the crayon sharpener in it. I mean, that was ballin'. The downside, though, was if your parents did back-to-school shopping or your grandmother did your back-to-school shopping, like my grandmother did sometimes, she would buy stuff for us, and they went to, like, the Christmas tree shop to do it or Building 19 or something like that. You didn't get the Crayola crayons. You got the Rose Art crayons. And anybody that had the Rose Art crayons knows what I'm talking about. They were the worst. They were like extra waxy, so they didn't color nearly as nice. Rose Art crayons were horrible. They were the Cane's mayonnaise of crayons. And those of you who listen to this show, you know how I feel about Cane's mayonnaise. Rose Art colored pencils were very good, though. But the crayons and the markers from Rose Art, no good. Parents, if you're out there shopping, spend the extra couple of bucks for Crayola. It's worth it. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. You collapse. And welcome back in. Hey, if you are thinking about going solar, but you got questions that you just can't really find satisfactory answers for, you go online and you don't know what is real, what is propaganda, what is the truth, what is just hype. If you want to get simple, honest, direct answers to all of your questions about going solar, you should be talking to Isaacson Solar, because Isaacson Solar is not some fly-by-night company that comes into town, knocks on your door. Isaacson will never knock on your door unless you invite them over. They come into town, they knock on the doors, they sell you solar panels, they install them, and then they screw out of town and go somewhere else and do the same thing over again. And you don't have a relationship with them. That's not the case with Isaacson. With Isaacson, they're here. They're South Coasters. They're not going anywhere. They are your partner in saving money with solar. But how does it all work? Is it true that you can actually get paid to go solar? Is it true that you can get a new free roof if you go solar? All of those questions and more can all be answered with a nice sit down with Isaacson Solar. They'll come down, they'll answer your questions, they'll look at your home, they'll look at your property, and they'll tell you if you are a good fit for solar. And if you are, they will give you a free, no obligation quote, and then it's up to you whether or not you want to go forward. So find out more by going to their website, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. Let's take a phone call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
What's shaking, playboy?
What's going on?
Living and loving. So you see Gary Marshall died?
I did not. I thought that he died a while ago.
No, he's been alive. He's been alive for a long time. You know who else? Like, you were talking about, like, on Three's Company, said Joyce DeWitt was on the left. What about Larry? The way I feel is, like, if you're, like, if your name and also your image is on before the show starts, you know, they show your name and your image, you're part of the,
right,
the
but
ensemble.
Richard Klein did not make the cut of that article because he was not in the original first season credits. That's what they were basing it on.
But he was on the show.
Right, but he wasn't in the first season credits. They were going by the people who were in the first season credits.
Okay, but I still, like I said, I still think he was on the show, even though it didn't show up. They said his name on there.
But not originally in the first season.
They showed his name on there.
I think, they did in the syndication package, so if that's your point of reference, then, you know, that's why.
Well, I originally saw when it first came out, too, so, you know, like I said, but he's still alive. And, like, there's, like, the Super Friends, for instance. There's the one who the lady who played Wonder Woman is the only one that's alive that was doing the show. You know, like Ted and I and everybody else, Casey, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And like that. And there's a couple other shows. Oh, I totally forgot I was going. And so I like, you know, about Greg Kinn, right? You know, he died yesterday also.
Oh, I didn't hear that. That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. From Alzheimer's, and 70, he's 75 years old. I remember, I want to say, let's say maybe 12 or 14 years back, he was here in town, and was kicking around and stuff like that, and we were getting our smoke on, to be honest. Okay, and so and I noticed how he started he nodded out, and he like he fell back and almost hit his head. I was like Spider-Man. I grabbed him for his head, but I noticed, you know, that people that have had, like, all of them, they might have fell and hit their head and stuff like that. But I know other people that have gotten the smoke on and they're smart as whip, they're not having that old Alzheimer's. But yet, I think that head damage did something with it like that. That's what I think that might have been, the brain head trauma.
Well, is it true that he also changed the lyrics of his song to Lamone's in Jeopardy?
Of course.
Yeah. You know, Lamone's in Jeopardy.
Time. Baby.
So,
at least it's like, I'm out.
I'll tell you one thing about Greg Kinn. He was a spooky South Coast listener.
Yeah.
I got an email from him way, way back in the day that he listened to the show. So that was always cool. He was, I think, our first, like, celebrity listener.
Wasn't Gilbert your early one, though? Early like that?
I don't know that Gilbert listened to the show, but he was on the show.
Yeah, that was, like, you think you'd be on the show, you might listen. You know, like I said, you know, honestly, when the only time I listen is when I know you're on it. I don't listen any other time.
Also, listeners of Spooky were Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top and Richard Edson, who was in Sonic Youth and also in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I sent you the picture that there's your girlfriend, and Matt just started laughing. All three of us were laughing. You remember that picture?
I do.
That was funny. That would have been nice if he was walking down the alley.
DSY just sent me an app chat message. It was Peter Marshall that died, not Gary Marshall.
Didn't I say Peter Marshall?
No, you said Gary Marshall.
Gary K. Marshall is the writer. I thought I said, well pardon yes. moi, but you knew what I was talking about.
Peter Marshall, the longtime host of Hollywood Squares.
I remember he looked kind of had that Adam West look to him, didn't he?
He did, 16 years he was the host of that show.
It didn't seem long as that, but you remember they stopped him and they brought him back out and he was doing it again?
And he and Paul Lynde going back and forth were some of the best jokes.
Center square, like, oh. You know, I like Paul Lynde. I think he was pretty funny. And I didn't know his orientation. Like I said, I just thought he was funny. Like I said, I could do a good, it's Uncle Arthur. Yeah, like, you know, it was kind of crazy. But it's so sad, you know, because he died unheralded and stuff like that. And He was a good.
Right. He also had some conspiracy theories about who was holding back his career. But I got to hold you back there, Lamone, because I got to take this final break before the end of the hour.
Agnes Moorhead.
Massachusetts' own Agnes Moorhead. She's a Massachusetts native.
Oh, and you know, you have another person, Tina Weymouth. You know from
Talking Heads.
Talking Heads, and from there, Weymouth right there.
She's not from Weymouth, Massachusetts. So,
is that a family?
I got to hold you there, though, Lamone. You have a great weekend.
Okay. You do the same. Spooky this weekend?
No, sir.
Good grief. Okay, so I hope you have a good weekend, everybody, and hope the good Lord smile upon you guys out there in the New Bedford area.
Right.
Living life and living long. Take it like
you as well.
Strong. Take it like, brother.
You too. All right, that is Lamone in Las Vegas. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. We are going to be going into the news in just a moment, because that's how we do it. We give you all the information that you need.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair. We help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.